Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Let's go to the hotline. Our buddy Scott Petrak from the Chronicle-Telegram, brownzone.com, joining us right now. Scott, welcome. How are you, bud?
Hey, Scott.
I'm good. How are you guys?
All right, so you had a win that got away. It was right there. Three big things, four fourth-quarter possessions before the last one that went nowhere, a defense that folded in the clutch, and bad clock management on timeouts. Does that cover it all, or is there more?
I think that's about all of it. You know, I think we could have a discussion about the clock management. You know, what would you prefer that he had done, and do you not use him on defense there? But there's no doubt the defense, you know, it wants to be considered the best in the world. It's got, you know, the ranking is the number one defense. It needs to get a stop there, and it can't be that easy where Carson Wentz goes 9 for 9 and every play is a positive play when you got the lead. I mean, to me, yeah, the offense needs to score more. We know that. But the defense had a chance to win this game, and it didn't. And that, to me, is the biggest takeaway.
Is that what you walked out of it with at the end? You walked away and said, man, if the defense stops them there, it's the were you, and I'm not saying pointing fingers, but just your instant reaction was what?
Yeah, it was the defense had a chance to win this game. And, you know, I respect and I kind of agree with Dylan Gabriel when he says, hey, it can't be about just this one thing. And you have to look at what the defense has done after over five games. And I get that. But, and it has been really good over five games, and it's been put in some really bad spots. It wasn't yesterday. And it's not like Minnesota had a huge time of possession. I think the Browns, it was real close, 30-30. So that wasn't the issue. You know, Vikings have their backup quarterback. They, by the end of the game, they were without four of their starting offensive linemen. And you can't get to Carson Wentz at the end. You know, Justin Jefferson makes a really good play on, you know, goes up and over Denzel Ward. But you need a guy to make a play there. And then, you know, Denzel Ward takes responsibility for not rerouting Addison on the winning touchdown. That was way too easy. So, yeah, I'm not saying there aren't a million things we can point to. But my initial reaction was the defense had a chance to win the game and didn't.
I'd agree with you on that. There were other factors, but that was a big one. There's no question. Dylan Gabriel's first start looked like what to you?
Looked fine to me. You know, he was composed. We knew he would be composed. You know, he threw a dart on the one touchdown to Njoku on third down. That was a good throw.
Yeah, that was a nice one.
You know, he made a couple of good throws. You know, the first touchdown was a good play call. Fannin's wide open. Obviously, he didn't change the overall scope of the offense. Still only scored 17 points. We've seen that since December. Didn't make receivers hold on to the ball. You know, not that there were a ton of drops, but Jerry Jeudy had one. It was a tough catch, but it was a big non-catch. Would have converted a long third down. You know, and there's a talk about his ability to move. And yes, there was some of that. And obviously he moves better than Joe Flacco, and he's twitchier than Joe Flacco. But he doesn't change the, in my opinion, he doesn't change the game with the way he moves. You know, they put in a couple of his own reads. They didn't have any kind of impact. He tried to run one and was tackled for a loss. You know, he escaped one sack but couldn't get to the first down. So, you know, I think that's an upgrade over Joe Flacco, but it's not a difference maker. So, you know, want to see more of him. But my overall takeaway, and it's not a knock on Gabriel, is the offense didn't change that much. It still didn't score enough. It still limited. It still couldn't throw the ball down the field. And I think it goes beyond quarterback.
Was it too conservative with the approach play calling wise to maybe protect him in his first game? Or do you think that that's the style of game that he's capable of playing?
Well, I think I would like to see it open up for whoever's quarterbacking. And I think Gabriel has a chance to succeed if it's more open. I think he's smart, and they need him to be smart and be the decision maker that they think he is. And that means, you know, taking care of the ball, even if you're asked to throw more or throw downfield more. I think the reason for the conservative game plans is the offensive line has not proved that it can protect consistently, especially at that left tackle spot where KT Levinson was yesterday. And the receivers aren't getting any separation. So it really limits what you can do as a play caller. And I think it's an interesting kind of dichotomy where it feels like it's real conservative, but yet Kevin Stefanski's going for it on a bunch of fourth downs because he feels he needs to do that, and that's his nature. And I think his nature is to be a lot less conservative than he's being. I think he believes that's the only way this team can win, and it's by, you know, limiting turnovers, running the ball a bunch, you know, eating as much clock as you can, and putting your defense in real good spots, which is why it's frustrating how the game ends. You can't get a first down when you're trying to run your four-minute offense. And if you're set up to be a run, maybe not run first team, but a run-centric team, then you need to go get a couple of first downs on the ground to finish the clock. And if you don't do it, then you need your number one defense to get a stop. So both things are set up there. If, you know, when the Browns put this blueprint together, they're not going to blow out anybody. They're going to win games like this, 17-14, 20-17. So how do you do that is you get a couple first downs at the end running. They weren't able to do it. And then you get a stop defensively, and they weren't able to do that. So then the blueprint gets blown out of the water.
Scott, a lot of people pointing the finger at Kevin Stefanski. I know, especially for yesterday's loss, and anyone who didn't like Kevin kind of feels like they have a soapbox this morning. People who are on the fence might be like, huh, maybe they should be looking at another coach or making a coaching change at the end of the year. Your thoughts on, you know, what this does to the hot seat for Kevin?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we're going to have any kind of movement until the end of the year, so I think there's a lot of time to see how this plays out. I didn't think Kevin Stefanski had a great game yesterday, especially when you compare it to Kevin O'Connell. Kevin O'Connell is able to manufacture some stuff on offense. And, you know, now he has the advantage of Justin Jefferson, and Jordan Addison might be better than any receiver the Browns have, too. So he has that advantage, and that's a huge advantage. But the trick play touchdown, right? That's a great play call. And I thought, especially early in the game, O'Connell was able to keep the Browns defense on its heels. He just never felt that way from the Browns offense. So I think when you just compared the two coaches, I was like, yeah, O'Connell had a better game when he's dealing with, you know, he's got more offensive line injuries than the Browns had, and yet he was able to get his offense to do enough and then able to call whatever he needed to call in that two-minute drill to have the Vikings go down, you know, and score that winning touchdown. I think a little bit too much is being made of some of the clock management with Kevin, and we can break it down if you want. But I just think big picture, it wasn't a great game for him.
I would agree with you on that. I thought at the end of the game, at the very least, put the pressure on Minnesota to execute offensively. And instead, by calling those timeouts, you gave them the chance to regroup and figure things out offensively. It might have helped your defense to not call those timeouts, perhaps.
Yeah, that was my initial reaction too. And I understand, and you know, you watch games across the league, and a lot of teams call timeouts at the end of games because they're trying to get the ball back,
right?
And or they want time left if and when they get the ball back. It felt different yesterday because the Browns had the lead, and you know, you felt like I agree, Jeff, that maybe you could have kept the pressure on them by not stopping the clock or make them use their last timeout. You know, that might be they have the data that says, hey, we're supposed to be calling timeouts here. So I did find that a bit interesting. I don't think that wound up being the difference in the game. You know, and then I know he's getting criticized by some for, you know, running it twice on the last offensive possession before the 25-second one and then throwing on third down there. You know, I think you have to throw it on third down. I don't care if it costs you 30 seconds or Minnesota, you know, has to use this last timeout. The difference between 3 minutes and 2.5 minutes is not that big a deal.
And if you get the first down, you might win the game.
Exactly. And we saw Minnesota have plenty of time left to get, you know, they were in no hurry. And I know the Browns call the timeouts, but that's a ton of time in this league. So I don't think running the ball on third down, like, that was not the right play. In my opinion, you have to go for the first down. We can talk about whether or not you should be more aggressive and not run it on first and second down. But for a team that's, like I said earlier, trying to run the ball, and Quinshon Judkins had success, that felt, and you know, Minnesota was going to start to use their timeouts. That didn't feel like a bad coaching decisions to me on those three play calls.
Where are we going from here? Where do you? I mean, what are we doing here? I'm just trying to look at the big picture.
Well, to me, that's what's most disappointing about this loss. Right, it's a winnable game, and if they win, they're 2-3 going to Pittsburgh. And all of a sudden, they're in the discussion in the AFC North, which is a mess, right?
Yes.
We see what's going on in Pittsburgh. We see what's going on in Cincinnati, Baltimore and Cincinnati. We don't know what's going to happen to Pittsburgh. So if the Browns are 2-3, go and beat Pittsburgh. All of a sudden, the Browns are 3-3, and Pittsburgh is 3-2, and you're talking about playoffs and the schedule getting easier. So to me, that's what stings most about that Vikings loss. And you can combine it with the Bengals loss, right? That all of a sudden this team should be way better than 1-4, despite all its flaws. And that's how this league works. If you can win a couple of those games, I'm just saying you're not supposed to win, but really they were supposed to win, it changes everything. It changes how you view yourself, how the league views you. And the discussion changes so much. And now there's doubts within the locker room. It's, man, you can't do this, you can't do that. You just finger, you know, you could point fingers, oh, the defense let us down, the offense let us down. So that's, to me, the biggest thing about this loss is how it affects big picture where this team is. And, you know, I didn't think they were going to go to the playoffs this year, but if they had beaten Minnesota and beaten Cincinnati, that discussion changes, especially with how the AFC North is so much different than everybody thought it would be.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.
5 weeks ago.
Scott Patrick joining us, brownzone.com, covers the Browns for the Chronicle-Telegram. Run-pass balance, 33 pass attempts, 32 rush attempts. I guess that's okay. You were throwing it okay. Quinshon Judkins, clearly a weapon. No one else ran the ball particularly well for the team. Were you okay with that balance, Scott?
Yeah, I think part of that is the rookie quarterback. Jeff, you know, somebody asked me last week, like, what do you think the right number is for Gabriel? And I said between 30 and 35, because it's not going to be less than that in 2025 in the NFL.
No.
Right? You're not going to throw 22 times a game unless there's extenuating circumstances. So that felt right. Obviously, they committed to the run, and I think they're going to continue to commit to the run. And for multiple reasons, it's one, the deficiencies in the pass game. And then two is Quinshon Judkins looks to be the real deal, so you better give him the ball as much as you can. So I was fine with that balance. But, again, it comes back to if you don't have receiver weapons, it's really hard to throw the ball a ton and really hard to have a lot of success because all you're doing is dumping it off to your tight ends all day.
I was just going to go there. Before the last desperation drive in the closing seconds of the game, the wide receivers had – 3 catches in the game. What can this team do about that at this point? Anything?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I Jerry Jeudy should be better than he has been. I don't know if teams are really taking him away with the safety over the top. That could be part of it. And then you have, you know, Isaiah Bond has to win or Jamari Thrash, and, you know, he has not shown the ability to win. Isaiah Bond, there is some upside there because he's young and he's got, you know, a bunch of speed. You know, we saw Malachi Corley on the field for a little bit, ran a jet sweep for some success. Is there an upside there? I don't know. But it starts with figuring out something with Jerry Jeudy, and he's got to do his part by hanging onto the ball. And then you got to do a better job designing plays to get him open. I think it starts there because everybody else in that room is unproven or a giant question mark. But you mentioned Thrash, and I did have to talk about Stefanski issues. You can't, I don't think, you can throw that ball to Thrash on the last play. You have to get the ball into the end zone. And I understand why they were trying, and if it works, you get a better chance. But if it doesn't work, the game's over, right?
So,
yeah, right. So, you know, I don't think Thrash is the right guy there because he didn't have the speed to get out of bounds. So do you throw it shorter, and then you know you're going to get a completion and get out of bounds? But you can't have the game end without a shot into the end zone. So whether that's Stefanski or Thrash, you're on the blame for that. But it can't end the way that it did.
Last thought, they got Minnesota the week after they played in Dublin. This week they get Pittsburgh on a short week. And Pittsburgh had the week off. The schedule makers did this team no favors.
Yeah, I can't argue with that, Andy, but they should have beaten Minnesota.
Oh, no, I don't question that at all.
It mattered that they were in Dublin, you know, the week before. You know, Minnesota requested that. The Browns, I believe this is true. Teams coming back from international games have the option of taking a bye the next week. I think the Browns chose not to take a bye. They preferred it in the middle of the season. And, you know, it's a short trip to Pittsburgh. I think that's true. I have to verify that, but I'm pretty sure that's true. So they chose to take the short trip to Pittsburgh. Now they didn't control Pittsburgh coming off a bye. Right? That's a little bit of a bad luck there, a bad situation. But yeah, you tied into this tough six games to open the season, which again goes back to these winnable games that they didn't. We all knew the six game stretch was going to be hard. If they came out of it 3-3, you know how good people would be feeling about this team and how good this team would be feeling about
it. I'm with you, brother.
Right? And they just blew those chances.
Yep.
Scott, a pleasure. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks,
Scott. We appreciate your time as always.
Thanks, Holes.
Scott Petrak, Chronicle Telegram, brownzone.com, where you can go read all of Scott's work.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.